Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros.
Good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries. Today, Friday, March 7 of this year, 2025. Our subject is some words that he spoke to us in the 2013 end of year activity on the grounds of the Great Tent Cathedral. And let's read a scripture in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." You may please be seated. In the message, Pastors Anointed with the Holy Spirit at the Last Day, which was preached on July 7 of 2009 in Quito, Ecuador, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, there was, is, and will be divine intervention through the archangels Gabriel and Michael and the other angels or archangels that God has in His kingdom. And that is why there are blessings for the believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is why there were, are, and always will be anointed ones, ministers, pastors anointed with the Holy Spirit. There were, are, and will be. And there will be pastors anointed with the Holy Spirit at the last day, anointed with the Word, to be instruments of God in the midst of the sheep of the Lord, treating them with love, with care, with respect, and always providing them the spiritual food. Now, notice, in the message, which we have the excerpt in the book of quotations, where our brother Branham tells us that God always works through an instrument, which is an excerpt here from the message, Straight is the Gate, on page 26 of the Book of Quotations, and paragraph 220, in that excerpt of that message, it tells us, "And in all ages, in all times, God has always dwelt in man. Man is God's agent. In every generation, God speaks to his people through human lips. He always chooses someone or something that he can use. There on the left, he draws a Star of David. And in verse On page 26, paragraph 220, there on the left, he draws a cornerstone. And above, he writes, God has always used a man as his agent. God has always used a man as his agent. And it also tells us on page 118, paragraph 1045, from the Book of Quotations, this is an excerpt from the message, God's gifts always find their places. It says, God does nothing outside of a man. He always works through a man because he has to use a man. A man is what he had to use to display his attributes of Savior. So being that he had to do that, he turns back around and makes the man a partner to him, and thus nothing except he does it through a man. And he writes above, God does everything through a prophet, which is his partner. God does everything through a prophet, which is his partner. And we turn to page 43 from the Book of Quotations. Now, remember that he had spoken to us in the Book of the Ages, this page 43 of the Book of Quotations, the excerpt 349 is a portion from the Book of the Ages, in the message of the Ephesian Age. And he tells us, before reading that page, that paragraph 349 from page 43, let's turn to page 241 from the Book of the Ages in English. It says, as we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messenger of each age. They receive from him the revelation of the word for each period. This word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shine with a borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in the darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to his people. Now, notice here as well, on page, let me see here. Page 156 from the Book of Ages in English, it tells us, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them from 1 to 7 up to the 7th. And in the cornerstone, he writes 8. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37. They adhere or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God, meaning the voice of God through that messenger of each age and of each dispensation. But notice that also, in addition to the messenger anointed by God in each age and each dispensation, God also has wonderful helpers, wonderful ministers, pastors who spread that message, that revival of that time. Now, it's important to speak exactly what that messenger has brought from God. Therefore, that is fully fulfilled at this end time, because the third pool is the speaking of the word. It is the teaching of the thunders under the tent. Therefore, it is a time in which should be more careful about what is being carried out in our age and our dispensation. Meaning, just as there was a tape ministry, which he writes like that, tape ministry, during the Brother Branham's time, and he emphasized, say or speak what the tapes say. Don't add to it nor take away from it, because the whole program that he would be carrying out in that new age and that new dispensation is contained there. Likewise, in the time in which he brought to us the good tidings, the news from God to his church, in the messenger who was in the midst of the church, bringing us the same thing that he brought to the Virgin Mary in the time of the first coming of the Lord. In other words, when Dr. William Soto Santiago spoke to us in his message, it was recorded on tape, it was written, and he also repeated the same thing that Brother Branham said. Say what's on the tapes, don't add to it nor take away from it. Why? Because in the message that they brought, it was showing what this end time would be, what the fulfillment of the seventh seal would be, what the angel different from the rest would be in human flesh in the midst of the people, fulfilling the prophecies relevant to the tenth vision, to the third pool, where God would be bringing the rapturing faith. Now, he continues to say, Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did. Likewise, he warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. And if there is something that has to be corrected, the messenger corrects it, and the next messenger can bring more light. And the one who comes after God takes that messenger who already spoke certain revelation for a certain subject specifically, the other messenger brings more light. In other words, the prophecy increases. He sheds more light on certain subjects specifically, or on everything that the previous messenger brought. Oh, how important is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what has been given to them to say to the churches. Now look, in the quote that we were going to read there, from page 49, from the paragraph 349, it says, every revival produces a pair of twins. One is a spiritual man, the other one is natural man of the earth. I join the church, I am just as good as anybody. And that's what this revival produced. That's what every revival. And above that he writes, every revival produces twins, Abel and Cain, Jacob and Esau, David and Saul, Jesus and Judas, Christ and the beast, the Antichrist. I will read again what he wrote there. Each revival produces twins, Abel and Cain, Jacob and Esau, David and Saul, Jesus and Judas, Christ and the beast, the Antichrist. And below, he writes, under that paragraph 349, he writes, Christ, and below, the Antichrist. And look, on paragraph 350, right there on page 43 from the Book of Quotations, it says, "Now, remember, each church has its formals, and each church has its spirituals." That's the twins that's born in every revival and lives in every church. They started right in the age and ends up in this age. And finally, the foremost took it over the Thyatiran age, and Luther pulled it back out again. And now it's swinging right back in again. Can you see that formal religion? There is no difference between that and Catholicism. It's all the same thing. Every organization is butchered right into it. God never did organize his church. That's exactly what they was trying to do here. And you watch and see now if that isn't right. Just show you how cursed an organization is. It was foreign to the new church, the New Testament church. Above there he writes, on paragraph 350, he writes, "Revival brings twins. Christ did not organize his church. Revivals bring twins. Christ did not organize his church." In the Book of the Seals, on page 405 from the book in English, he tells us, let's also have this other book here in which he also wrote to us there on that page 405, which speaks to us about this that we are talking about. Notice, here it says, I want you to notice a little something just about the time that Abel came on earth. I want you to notice just about the time that Christ came on earth, Judas came on earth, about the time that Christ went off of earth, Judas went off the earth, just about the time that the Holy Spirit fell, the Antichrist spirit fell, just about the time the Holy Ghost is revealing himself here in the last days, the Antichrist is showing his colors, coming up through his politics and things, and just about the time the Antichrist moved himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on. And there he writes with Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels to redeem it all. And there he writes to transform us. In this other one, he writes to transform, to adopt us. He writes here in this other one, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. See, just run, just right together, and they're both side by side, Cain and Abel, the crow and the dove, on the ark, Judas and Jesus, and just on down, you can take it. Now notice that this happened in the time of Moses, which was a dispensational messenger, and he is one of the two olive trees. It's the ministry of Moses being repeated at this end time. Now, notice what happened back then, because notice that it isn't that this only happened in this moment. Which he mentions here, back in the time of Abel and Cain, in the time of Jacob, in the time of David, in the time of Jesus. But let's go to the time of Moses. Look, in chapter 16 of Numbers, it says, verse 1, it says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They weren't just anyone, they were important individuals among the people. Notice, they took 250 men from that entire crowd that was there. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And he draws a star of David to the right. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now notice that it was a showdown there, because just as Aaron's sons came before the Lord unto the most holy place with strange fire and died, here Moses is placing them or putting them in the same position, and with that incense, those censers, each one of them, we're going to show the people who was accepted before God and who was wrong. Now notice how important this part of the incense is, which we will see further on there, where it takes us to Revelation 8. Now, look, it says, And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which, cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Look, they were disobedient too. Notice how they had came out of there, and they had seen all those wonders, but in reality they were not believers within. They weren't following Moses at all, despite everything God did. But notice, there is always a moment of trial in which everything that is in the heart comes to light. The whole bunch came out, but notice, on the way they rebelled. Because notice that the moments of trial are very important, because that is where a separation is made, so that the children of God obtain blessings. It happened in the time of Abraham, when he said, Separate yourselves. See? And in the end time, we know that there will be a time of separation in which God would be sending his ministries of Moses and Elijah, the weeping angels, to carry out that work, a separation. Now, it continues to say, It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. They are also scolding Moses there for the way that he was carrying out everything, and they were trying to be the leaders. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. That is, look, if entering into the promised land with Moses had been quick, which we know that it was Joshua who brought them in, where he, in this Bible, he tells us here in Joshua chapter 3, in verse 7, he says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." There on the verse 7, he draws a star of David on the left, and notice, above he writes Zechariah 3, Revelation 11 from 3 to 7, and 7 verse 2. And he writes there above Moses, first Moses, and where it says, "So I will be with thee," he writes Joshua equals and second Moses. In other words, he puts him, Joshua, there with that dispensational ministry, because a dispensational messenger is the one who brings the people into the promised land. Back then, it was to the promised land as a land. Into the promised land as a theophanic body, it was a dispensational messenger, which was Jesus. See? A dispensational messenger. And to bring them into the promised land of the new, eternal, and glorified body, a dispensational messenger is required, which is the Holy Spirit, the final messenger, which is represented, typified in Joshua, the final messenger, the Benjamin of the prophets. Now notice, here it goes on to say on verse 15, notice, they were telling him and questioning Moses, "Look, you brought us out of there, and you promised to us that you would take us into a land that flowed with honey and milk, and look where we are." If they had entered into the promised land in those 30 to 40 days or 50 days at the time, because it was a short distance, it was near, the journey was short, it was close, if they hadn't gone through all those paths, because notice, everything had a purpose, because if he had brought them in directly in a short time, then they would have all received the blessings of that promised land when they didn't deserve it. They were not people to receive the promised land and to obtain the fruits of the promised land. And that is also how it's at the same time. God has had a spare period of time where not all those who came out will receive the fruits of the promised land as a new body, because if it had been quick, there would be many who you can now see that are against it. They have risen against what God promised, against the fulfillment of the tenth vision, against the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, and others have even stepped away from everything, see? Now, all has a purpose in the divine program. Now, he continues to say in verse 15, "And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord," and he writes there, Moses got angry, and he was the most meek, "Respect not thou their offerings. I have not taken one ass from them, neither I have hurt one of them." Because notice, the work that God is carrying out through Moses did not depend on Dathan, Abiram, nor Korah. He didn't need them at all. He didn't take anything from them either, nor did he need anything from them for God to carry out the work through Moses, nor did he demand them to do something in favor of the work that Moses was carrying out. In other words, he didn't need them, that is, to top it all off. "And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man with his censer 250 censers. And he writes there 250. Thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation, and he draws a star of David to the left. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And he draws a star of David to the left, and they fell upon their faces, and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. See? A separation, because the divine judgment would fall upon them and upon all those who followed them. Notice, there was a warning first, before the judgment. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. See, one cannot be a part of any of those movements to avoid receiving some of the consequences. It is better to leave that alone and not touch anything impure that is against the word of God and against the work of God relevant to our time. And they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. And he draws a star of David. And at this time, the instrument that God is using to carry out and fulfill all of his program relevant to this end time to give the rapture in faith to the elect, they will know. The world, the lost, the 144,000, the foolish, and the bride, they will know at this end time when all those things are taking place. They will know that I did not do all that he told me to do to carry out of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited against the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord, and that is what they will see. But they see the divine judgment fall, and they will say, But isn't there supposed to be a rapture? Isn't there supposed to be a transformation, a resurrection? What happened? Notice, that is when they will realize that everything was done according to the Lord's will. That instrument acted according to the will of the Lord. And what he said was true. And then they will find themselves alive in the fifth dimension, which is the great tribulation, which will be fully unleashed on the earth. Notice that what was shown back then with Dathan, Abiram, and Korah is what will happen to those people in the end time. And it came to pass, as he had made the end of speaking all these words. Notice, it is a time when the work is finished. No one could touch Moses until he carried out that work. It is in the book of Quotations, there is an excerpt that Brother Branham mentions it. No one could touch Moses And no one will be able to touch Revelation 11 until he finishes his work. Now, when he finishes everything, certain things will be taking place in the divine program, and that is when they will be seeing and recognizing that it was truly the will of the Lord, the perfect will of the Lord that was being carried out in the midst of the people of God. And it came to pass that he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense, and he writes there 250. Now notice, those other leaders who had been gathered by Dathan, Abiram, and Korah were also gone there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed, the censers of these sinners against their own souls. What did they sin against? Whom did they sin against? Against their souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar, the priest, took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for the covering of the altar. And he draws a star of David, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah, and as his company, as the Lord said unto him by the hand of Moses. See? So that no one would get near, because he had told Aaron, notice, when he said, not at all times may they enter, and especially the way Aaron's sons did with strange fire. Now, the same thing happened here, and what happened? What did it produce? Death as well. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord, because people always rise up then questioning what God is carrying out. Notice, but look at what happened to these who murmured. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that, notice, that is another group. Dathan, Abiram, and Korah weren't there anymore, but there were still some left there. Notice that there always comes a point in which there are still those people that stay. Let me not identify myself just yet. Let me stay around here just in case. But there comes a time when they see something that is seemingly wrong, or that is seemingly against the people, and that is where the heart of the person comes to light there. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Notice that there was a moment in which the plague had begun, and the final death, the last plague, is spiritual death. And we don't know how long ago it started. And on the side he writes, Revelation 8, verse 2, and he draws a Star of David to the left. And notice that Revelation 8 speaks to us about the seventh seal. It speaks to us about the opening of the seventh seal. And when he hath opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of all the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And there he writes Revelation 14, and he also writes Revelation 11 from 3 to 7, which notice that those are the two olive trees. It is the ministry of the two olive trees. Now, look on page 372 in the book of the seals in English. In this book, let's also look over here in this one. It tells us, now, if there is no altar of sacrifice in heaven, where is the sacrifice for sin laying then? The lamb? There has to be a place where that slain lamb, bloody, is laying there, where the blood, it... Now, the incense was the other stuff that they burnt, which the Bible said was the prayers of the saints. And he writes, Revelation 8, from 1 to 5, here in this other Bible, he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right. If there is no sacrifice on the altar, then the prayers cannot be received. It is only by the blood on the sacrificial altar that lets the prayers go through to God. Now, above he writes, if there is no blood on the altar, the prayers don't go through. Now, notice here what Moses commanded to do quickly there, because the plague had already begun. Now, the atonement, it says, and make atonement, verse 46 of chapter 16 of Numbers, here where we are, and make an atonement for them. And there's where he writes Revelation 8, and he draws a Star of David to the left. Now remember that the Feast of Atonement will also be fulfilled for Israel. Because notice that there he writes Moses and Elijah, and he writes the atonement, that is, the new mercy seat. Now, it says, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. Before he took that censer, that is, it says, before taking the censer and putting fire therein from of the altar, and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation, before that work, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And he draws a Star of David to the left, meaning He stood between the dead and the living. Notice, God saw that atonement there, and the plague stopped. Therefore, standing between those who have already been dying spiritually and the living, the ministry of Moses and Elijah is there to stop that plague. And may that mercy seat be an atonement for all the congregation. And may God look under those wings, under the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and may the people thus be interceded for by the way of that censer, which is a priestly work. Now, it says, now they that died in that plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. So imagine, that was a lot of people. After the rebellion of Korah, there were many, and now over here with this group that rose and murmured about what had happened, meaning those were hypocrites, or those who were called the lukewarm, or the make-believers who are the ones that reached the end. Notice, there was then the dead of 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Now notice how important it is to follow the instrument, the messenger, and to do everything that he ordains. That's how it has been in each age and in each dispensation. And those that left and have gone out of that line, well, they won't receive the blessings promised by God to be carried out and fulfilled in each age or in each dispensation. Now, let's continue here in this message, pastors anointed with the Holy Spirit at the last day. He goes on to say, remember that the same thing that the faithful and wise servant has to do, every minister has to do as well, because locally, the local faithful and wise servant is the pastor, the faithful and wise servant of the and the midst of the people is the messenger of each age. He has to be faithful to God and to the people of God for this time. And thus, the faithful and wise servant who will be living at the last day, well, he will be the one in charge of bringing the word, the spiritual food, the former and latter rain, the divine revelation of God for our time, where he will be speaking both of the first coming of Christ as well as the second coming of Christ, and he will have the privilege that the other messengers didn't have. On page 32 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 273, Reverend William Branham tells us, in the, this is the message, former and latter rain, an excerpt of that message, it says, in the last days, there would be a latter rain, and the former and latter rain would be together. Now, the first rain was in the east, the latter rain is in the west, and in the latter rain, both former and latter rain will be together. And he writes at the top, east, a dash, Israel, west, a dash, America. And on the side of east, Israel, he writes, the first coming. And on the side, west, dash, America, he writes, the second coming. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Now, our brother William goes on to say, Although the seventh messenger had the privilege of making the introduction, but the complete revelation will be brought by the one who comes after the seventh angel messenger, that is, to whom it is given to be in the house of God in the age of the cornerstone, which is the age of the most holy place. The blessing promised for the end time corresponds to him. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord comes, will find so doing. Will find him doing what? He says, he asks, who is the faithful and wise servant whom, when his Lord comes, will find him so doing? That is, the one who is doing so when he comes. Meaning, for the fulfillment of the angel that was different from the rest, the one who will be ministering in the house of God in the present time. Now notice, he says, that is, the one who is doing so when he comes, and Paul has already left, Irenaeus left, Martin left, Columba left, Luther left, Wesley left, and Reverend William Branham left. And now we say, and Dr. William Soto Santiago left. See? None of them was the faithful and wise servant for God to fulfill this promise. He goes on to say, but there must be someone who is doing so, giving food in due season in the house of God to the children of God. The blessing that God has for that time will correspond to that person, and the tenth vision is included there. See how simple everything is? The last messenger who's alive is the messenger in which God would carry out and would fulfill that vision. If Paul had been alive, were he, and in his time, the tenth vision would be fulfilled or have been fulfilled, well, then he would have been the messenger to fulfill that promise. Likewise, in each of the messengers, our brother Branham tried to carry it out. But notice, it wasn't fulfilled in his time either. And our brother William, he was the closest one. But notice, he came with and for a purpose which we are already know, and it is clear to us who Reverend William Branham was, who Dr. William Soto Santiago was, and who the messenger, the instrument that is in the midst of the church today, as simple as that. Everything was parallel or is parallel to the first coming of the Lord. He says, the blessing that God has for that time will correspond to that person, and the tenth vision is included there. It will be up to him with all the ministers who will be with him working in the work of the Lord and all the congregation to carry out that work. None of the past messengers would carry it out. The seventh desired to. He tried but couldn't. He wasn't allowed to. Now, on page 25 from the Book of Quotations, there it tells us on paragraph 207, look, it says, now, we will pray for them emergency cases, but then, after about a couple nights, I want to start in on my new ministry, and I want to take them back here in the room, because you know the vision. How many remember the vision? Sure you do. Of the little tent in the room. There he writes on the top, the third pool, the tent, and the little room. Now, I'm going to take Meta in with me the first night on account of sending women in, but it's a ministry that I can't let be known to see public. No one will ever duplicate this. See? No, sir. No. I know it's right on the merch now. I can just look like just reach out there and take a hold of. See? That he longed for it. It's saying right there. Now, let's continue, he says. Last night, I was dreaming just before I got up this morning, Brother Neville. I was dreaming a dream, and I thought the ministry, I don't know what I was doing, but whatever it was, oh, you talk about things taking place. I never seen such. I woke up just crying and praising. There on the verse 208, it continues to say, I hit my wife in the face with my hand like that, meaning accidentally. There he writes the tenth vision and he hit Meta in the face accidentally. And it goes on to say, just appraising God laying there. Oh, I just know that there's something right out here, just ready to reach over and get a hold of it. It's going to be greater than it's ever been. It's going to be wonderful. I believe God is fixing to do something great and He circles great. But now we got to approach it sanely, intelligently, and right in the Word of God, correct? There on the right, he writes upwards, the third pool, the tenth vision. Now notice how he talks about approaching that pool sanely, intelligently, and right in the Word of God. We remember when he told him to consecrate himself for the visit of the angels. Now, look, he says there, now tonight, for a sign to you, on page 544, in the book of the seven seals in English, there in the paragraph, let's read the paragraph, it says, here is the interpretation of that vision, see? Now, to let you know, Brother Stoffman has not got the game that he went after. We was trying to get it for him, and he said, now, tonight, for a sign to you, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels. Now, notice that for the visit of those angels, Brother Branham had to consecrate himself. Now, even more so, for that visit of that angel that was different from the rest in human flesh. Meaning, that we have to approach this time, notice, intelligently, sanely, notice, and with a sincere heart, honest to God, and within the program, the word that He is fulfilling. Because notice, that is the incense, which there, notice, each person was given the opportunity to take their censers, take the fire, and to present it themselves, because this is individual, each one under the interpretation of what they thought or believed. And that is what, with the free will of each person, one comes closer to the presence of God, which is the most holy place in the age of the cornerstone and the dispensation of the kingdom, which we are living in today. It is a time parallel to that time then, and also the time parallel to that showdown which took place on Mount Carmel. Now, he continues to say here, Dr. William Soto Santiago says, none of the past messengers could carry it out, the seventh wished to. He tried to, but couldn't. He wasn't allowed to. But that tenth vision must be fulfilled. It was already seen. It was seen beforehand what was going to happen. In clearer words, he was transported to the time where it was already functioning. He didn't see how it was built, but he saw how it worked after it was built. It is like a writing where he, let's see if I have it here, where he says that it was, I see it now, that it was already established. Look, he writes, God transported Reverend William Branham to the future and he saw something that was already being fulfilled for some time. That is how the vision of the 10th Cathedral was established. That is how it will be because it already was in the vision. It already was in the invisible world and it must be materialized. See, it was something that was already established, everything that he saw. That is why here he, our Brother William says, he was transported to the time where it was already functioning. See, it was already in action. Everything he saw was already established. It was already being fulfilled progressively. and everything in its place, getting in order for it to reach the exact moment in which Brother Branham arrived in that certain activity, in that activity that was taking place the moment that he was transported to. He says, he didn't see how it was built, but he saw how it worked after it was built. And there is no other time or another divine cycle but the age of the cornerstone, which pertains to the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ. Therefore, those who will be working with the faithful and wise servant will not have any shadow of doubt in what they will be doing. They will have a clear picture, a clear revelation of what God wants to be done at this end time in the age of the cornerstone. As simple as that. Now notice, that instrument is being carried out. That instrument won't say how he is carrying out the whole program, nor will he say how the other things, the other phases, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision will be carried out until Revelation 11 is resurrected, until the ministries of Moses and Elijah fulfill that whole work. Then it says there that Revelation 11 will be killed, that instrument in which God is operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah to carry out that short trip where he goes to the sixth dimension to bring those who are there after the judgment that will take place in the sixth dimension, just as it happened in the time of Jesus. No messenger has gone and returned in 3 days. The last messenger is the one in whom God is carrying out his work, and that prophecy will be fulfilled in him. And thus, he will be able to resurrect first and then bring those of the sixth dimension. It says, as Job says, then thou shalt call and I will answer. Brother Branham also said the same thing. Likewise, Paul spoke of that great mystery. And notice, those of our time who have departed are also there. They will also return after Revelation 11 resurrects. There, that instrument then will be able to make known openly, and the ministers at that time will be able to speak the 10th vision and what was taking place there. God will show them what God was carrying out, and they will be able to give a testimony to the people about the work that God carried out, of which it was not spoken about how the fulfillment will be, because the angel told Brother Branham, you won't say a word of this to anyone, just like he had told him not to say the first and second pull, but he spoke it and brought many impersonators, imitators. Now, for the third pull, by not speaking exactly everything or not speaking certain things which the instrument is speaking to himself, there cannot be a perfect imitation, because he said that they would imitate the second coming if they knew how it is and what it is. But then, just as he said, when he come down the mountain, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen again, resurrects. Notice, likewise, the two olive trees, he, that instrument, will not tell his fellow ministers how to carry out that work in the third pool. Instead, they will see their results, and he will actually do it to protect them, so that they do not make that mistake of imitating. Although some may, as we say, to get upset, because perhaps they say, but why doesn't he say it clearly already? Or let him show me to see if it's true or not. Well, no, that's not going to happen. in the end, they will realize that I've truly been doing God's perfect will, and I've been carrying out and fulfilling everything to the letter, and you are also fulfilling the part that pertains to you to the letter, what pertains to you, to those who are praying, also working hand in hand alongside that ministry, later on, by them standing this trial that we are carrying out, God will give them that knowledge so that through that leader, that final instrument, that dispensational messenger, they can speak the vision to the people. But that is already a stage in which we are already transformed. Well, on this occasion, we have seen this chat under this study that we are about to listen to, this message, which was more or less a chat as well of this 2013 end of year activity on the grounds of the Great Tent Cathedral. Let's stand and we leave with us our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.